How many of you are glad to be in the house of God today? Say amen. There are times in our lives that we go through some dark valleys. It's a part of the journey. God said that we'd not have a bed of roses, but thank God that He would be with us every step of the way. There are times that I'm sure that you, along with I, we have questioned whether or not God loves us and whether or not that God is still answering our prayer. We're wondering whether or not God is still in control. And here is a man in Matthew chapter 11 that had the same problem. And before you began to criticize him, and before you began to say something negative about him, I want to just remind you that we've all had the same problem before. That many of us, many times as we go through a dark valley, we'll question the Lord's guidance, we'll question His leading, we'll question, does He love us? We'll question whether or not, why these things happen to me? Why do I get such a bad report from the doctor? Why do I have to go through such trials and heartache and valleys? And why do I lose my job? And why do I have all these family problems and different things like that? And we sometimes will wonder and we'll doubt God and we'll doubt whether or not God's still in control. We'll doubt whether or not He still loves us and He's still caring for us. But my friend, in the very beginning, may I say to you that God loves you this morning. And regardless of what happens to us, regardless of what the journey takes us on, regardless of how deep the valley or how long the night or how sleepless the nights may be, God is still in control. Amen. And here in Matthew chapter number 11, would you stand with me just a minute as we read verses 1 through verse number 6. And I want you to see this story about the man by the name of John the Baptist. Now, we preached last Sunday about John and about how that he saw the Lamb of God and how that he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, we have moved through John's life and now we're coming down to the end of the journey. And he says in chapter 11 of the book of Matthew, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see." And I like verse 5, watch it. "For the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me." I want you to bow your heads for a moment of prayer, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you will. And friend, this morning, would you right now, in the stillness of this room, I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. But I would guarantee you there's some folk here today that need this message. You'd not be here unless it's by divine appointment with God. And would you just pray, Holy Ghost, would you open my heart and may I receive what I need today from thee. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of standing one more time in a sacred pulpit. Lord, we realize it's not something to be taken lightly. And so, Father, we plead the blood today. We ask, God, you remove any hindrance to the working of God. Thank you for these fine folk that's come in to hear this old message, this old boy preach today, the message of God. And I pray that you'd impart a blessing, meet that need, and save that one that may be lost without Jesus. Thank you for the word of testimony we've already heard. And I pray, God, you'd just continue to have the Spirit of God present in this service, and we'll praise you. Oh, God, we'll rejoice. We'll glorify your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray.
Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. We've read in Matthew chapter 11 this morning about John the Baptist. And we find that in Matthew chapter 11, he is now at the lowest moment of his life. He is locked up in Herod's prison. And my friend, he's been there about 16 months in incarceration, locked up behind bars for the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while he's behind those bars, Satan has time to come and plant in his mind a seed of doubt. Oh, beloved, can I tell you something? It's a terrible thing to doubt. It's a terrible thing to live your life full of doubt. Some people doubt their salvation. You don't have to doubt it. Honey, you can know you're saved by the grace of God. If you're here today and you don't know that, if you're here today and you can't answer this question, if I died today, I would go to heaven. My friend, you can know that before you leave this building today. Thank God you can know. It's a no-so salvation. Amen. And the Bible tells us that doubt is a terrible thing. And John sits down in prison. He begins to wonder, is this really the Messiah? Is this Jesus the real one? Is he just somebody that just came about on the scene? Or truly, is he the Son of God? And so John calls two of his disciples, and he says to them, fellas, would you go and find him? And would you ask him this question? Are you him? Are you the real McCoy? Are you the real thing? Are we to look for another? And so the two disciples went and they found Jesus and they said unto him, John wants to know, are you the real thing? Are you the real McCoy? Is there somebody else that we should look for? Are you the real Messiah? And Jesus says here in verse number 5, I want you to go back to John. And I want you to emphasize to John, John, listen to me. And I've said this before, friend. Don't ever doubt the things you have believed in the light when you're in the darkness. Amen. Hear me out, beloved. If we were to turn off these light bulbs and close the blinds this morning, if we were to shut out every ray of light, friend, listen, this table would not move. The pews would not move. The pulpit would not move. They're still in their same place. Don't ever doubt the things that are in, when you have believed them in the light, the things that when you're in the darkest part of your life, you begin to doubt. They're still there, amen. God still loves you. He still cares for you. Jesus still is on the throne. Amen. There ain't nothing taking God by surprise. He didn't get up this morning wringing his hands, wondering what he's going to do. Thank God he's still in control. He's still running things. Amen. Praise God. And Jesus said, now notice, he said, when you go back, tell him something. Tell him, he said, the blind receive their sight. Amen. Thank God for the day he opened the blinded eyes. Amen. He said not only the blind received their sight, but the lame got up and walked. He said the lepers were cleansed. And the deaf ear, they have been, the deaf ear are here, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He said, listen, you've seen the miracles. You've seen what God can do. Don't you doubt it when you're in the dungeon, when you're down there in the darkest part of your life, when things aren't going well, when the bills aren't being paid, when the finances are low, when the doctor has an evil report. Thank God you still believe that God's in control. Amen. Now notice something. If I could take John on a journey this morning, and in a little bit of time that I've got, I'll probably not be able to finish it all, but that's all right. I believe God's already been here this morning. And thank God, he's the best preacher there is. Amen. When he shows up, I just want to sit down. Now listen, I wish I could take John on a journey. And I wish I could say to him, John, I want you to go with me some places. I can't take him on a journey, but I can take you on a journey this morning. There's about four or five journeys. There's four or five places I want to take you to this morning in the time we've got, and I promise you I'll try to be as brief as I can. Number one, I want you to go with me, and I want you to see that's him. That's Him. That's the Lord of glory. That's the Prince of princesses. That's Him. That's Jesus today. I want you to see Him today. Number one, that's Him in creation. That's Him in creation. The Bible said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How many of you believe that? Say amen. There are those today that would have you to doubt that. There are those today that would say that we evolved from some lower form of species. Well, I guess if you looked at Washington, you might say amen to that. But anyway, wait a minute. Friend, listen. There are those today that would try to make you and try to convince you that all of a sudden, out of nothing one day, there sprang something, and from something, there was a little bitty old cell that just floated across the water, and one day it landed, after millions of years, it landed on the side of the bank, and all of a sudden it just crawled up the side of a tree and went up the side of a tree millions of years, and all of a sudden it sprouted some legs and it sprouted a tail and hung by the tree, and one day the tail broke off. It fell down the ground, and it finally got tired of crawling in the grass, and it stood up one day and walked along, and it finally became a man. Now, honey, if you believe that, I got some property down in the swamplands of Florida I'd love to sell you. Amen. Come on. But, beloved, our children are subject to that every day in school. You see, they want you to believe in evolution. You know why? Because if you believe in evolution, there is no God. And you don't have to account to God. But I got news for you, honey. There is a God in heaven. And His name is Jesus. And He created all things that you see. Thank God He created this world and everything in it. Amen. Now, if those folk believe in evolution, I'd like to ask them two questions. Sister Gail, I'd like to ask them, number one, when did it start? Amen? Come on, help me out. When did it start? Well, we don't know when it started. Well, then, Brother Brawley, I'd like to ask them the next question. When did it end? Amen? When did it end? Now you see, Joanne, if we believed in evolution, and if we believe that we come from a lower species, I'd love to load up everybody here today, and we'd go about 10 miles down the road, down to the Ashburn Zoo, Jonathan, and I'd have James to pay for everybody's ticket, because he's got a lot of money. And we'd go in that zoo today, and we'd walk by the monkey cage. And we walk by their Sister Lily, and we see all them monkeys playing around, and they'd grab a banana, and we'd look at them, and we'd say, there's that monkey cage. And then we'd leave. And then 1 year from now, we'd go back. And we'd walk by the same monkey cage. And we'd see a bunch of little boys playing with them. You say, preacher, that don't make any sense. Neither does it make any sense to think that we came from nothing and we became a man. Honey, I got news for you. God created us. God breathed in us. God gave us a spirit of life. And hallelujah, one of these days we'll go back to Him. Amen. I'm getting off subject. Y'all heard Brother Mays was preaching one time, had this little old boy in his service. And he tried to stump Brother Mays on some stuff. And he come to Brother Mays one time. He said, Brother Mays, was it raining or was it sun shining when God created man? Mays said, well, the Bible doesn't say. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. He said, no, it doesn't. He said, yes, it does, Brother Mays. It says that God breathed in him the breath of life, and God created man out of the dust. He said, if it was raining, he'd been a pack of mud. Amen. But that's Him in creation. Listen. That's Him in the presence of creation. That's Him, His power in creation. Listen to what the Word says. Colossians 1:16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible. Honey, He created it all. You can't see a cell with a naked eye. You can't see an atom with a naked eye. You can't see a molecule. But friend, it still exists. That's what we're made of. He said the things are visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things were created. For by Him all things consist. Listen to me. That word there in Colossians, for by him all things consist. You know what that word means? It means held together. It means held together. You see, beloved, when God created the moon, he slung it out yonder in outer space at the right place, at the right time, and he created earth. He put it right where it ought to be. He tilted it 23 degrees on its axis so that it revolves around the sun. And friend, if it had tilted a little bit more, we'd have froze to death. If he tilted the other way, we'd have been burned up. But thank God he created it, and he hung it in space, and all things keep a going. Praise God, we can't even keep a satellite up in orbit. Y'all saw the news this week? They said, oh, don't worry, it's just a several ton satellite. It's going to fall to earth, but we don't know where it's going to hit. Well, I guarantee you one thing, bless God. If one of them scientists had any remote idea of where it might fall, they wouldn't be standing right there, amen? We can't even keep a bunch of metal up in the sky. But thank God he can hung the stars in their place, and he can put the moon in its place, and he can put the world in its place. All things consist by the Lord Jesus. And John, can I tell you something? That's him. He's keeping everything right on track. Amen. Amen. Number three, quickly. What is his purpose in creation? Why did he do all that? Didn't he have enough to do without creating this world and you and me? Bible said in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. His purpose in creating you and me was to have fellowship with the Holy God. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, he said that in the cool of the day, God would come walking in the garden and talk with man, and walk with man, and fellowship with man. Oh, but one day sin entered into the world, and that fellowship was broken, and man can no longer fellowship with the Holy God because of sin. But one day, thank God, Jesus came, and one day Jesus went to the Calvary's cross. One day he died for my sin, and the fellowship was restored between a holy God and sinful man through the cross of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's him. That's who he is. That's him. I see him in creation. Oh, my time's going. Number two, I see him in the cradle. Oh, that's him. I take you back where it started from, Bethlehem's manger. Bethlehem, where Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Amen. Thank God he was born not like you and not like me. He was born without a sin nature. He was born without a sin inheritance. Because, beloved, if he had been born like you and me, he would not be my Savior. But thank God he was born a spotless, pure Lamb of God. Why? So he could go to a Calvary's cross and die for our sins. Oh, I see him there in the cradle. Oh, I see the mystery of his birth. Oh, but let me move on. Number three, that's him in control. I want to take you down to the bottom of life. He controls, hear me, he controls disaster. He controls the wind and the waves and the seas. Listen to me. I was in a preacher's meeting Friday, Southeastern Baptist Fellowship. One of the fellows said, how many of y'all remember where you were a month ago? And I thought to myself, praise God, I can't remember where I was last week. Amen. But he said, a month ago, Friday. How many of you remember when you were a month ago last Friday? Anybody? Remember what happened? Remember anything? That's when the day of the earthquake. That was the day that the earth shook. And friend, a month ago, Friday, across these eastern United States, there was an earthquake that was felt. And beloved, I got news for you. I serve a God today. He's still in control of the weather, the wind, the waves, the seas, the earthquakes, the hailstorms, the fire, the drought, the rain. He's got it under control. Amen. 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 You say, preacher, if he's got under control, why is all these things happening? Because he's trying to get our attention, amen. Oh, would to God America would turn back to God. She's been blessed of the Lord, but by the same token, she can experience the judgment of God. Isn't it amazing? Dried up in one place and floods in another. Amen? Isn't it amazing? All of a sudden we pray for rain, and then all of a sudden we're worried that everything's going to get flooded. Isn't it amazing that the fires burn out of control, but then God, with one swoop of his little finger, can send enough rain to quench every fire there is? He's the master of the sea. And friend, he's the master of my seas, and the problems I face, and the difficulties I have, and the limitations I've got. I'm glad that I can call on one who can reach up and with one swoop of his hand say, peace, be still, and the winds must obey his voice, and the sea becomes quiet like a sheet of glass. That's the one I'm serving. That's him. That's Jesus. I see him when it comes to disasters, but I see him when he controls difficulties. The Bible said in John chapter 6, those disciples looked around and said, Jesus, there's not a bread store, there's not a burrito bread store available. And even if there was, we don't have enough money to run down and get any bread. He said, that's no problem. You see, my friend, there's no problem, for he's the bread of life. Amen. Come on now, y'all, listen, don't worry about getting in line at the cafeteria. Say amen right there. Their food will still be there this afternoon. In fact, they'll probably have you some hot by the time we get out. Say amen. He controls, listen, the bread from heaven. He can put it on your table. Thank God. Listen, I'm glad I said Wednesday night, my hope's not built on the stock market. If it was, I'd be in deep trouble. Amen. My hope's not built on Wall Street. My hope's not built on the things of this world. But my hope's built on Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Oh, everything else is sinking sand. I lean not to anything else but hold to his precious hand. Why? Because he's in control. He's in control of your difficulties. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what your problem is today. But I know one. If you'll turn it over to him, thank God he'll move and work and deliver you in that time. Amen. He controls difficulties. He controls disasters. But now listen to me. Somebody may get upset with me on this one. But he even controls diseases. Amen. Go back to Matthew 11:5. How many of you believe this book? Amen? Come on. He said, I am he that reached over one day and touched that old crippled man, and he got up. I'm the one that touched the leper, and he was putrefying sores. I touched him, and he was made whole. I'm the one that touched the deaf ears, and they began to hear. I'm the one that touched the eyes, and they began to see. Thank God he's got it all under control. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I mean, listen. I believe that there is a God in heaven today. If we as God's people, when we pray earnestly and seek the face of God, listen, my friend, hey, I've got news for you. God can do the impossible. Friday afternoon, sister. Now I may, listen, y'all just hear me out. Friday afternoon, to the preacher brethren, when I walked in the building, there's a dear man of God. I want you to pray for him. His name is Wayne Warren. Wayne Warren sold everything he had just to help preachers out. They built a retreat for preachers. It's called Anna Ruth's. A preacher can go there and stay free of charge. They'll feed him 3 meals a day. They'll take him fishing. Amen. But Brother Wayne realized that a lot of men were throwing the towel in and they needed a time to get away. Brother Wayne and his wife sold everything they had and lived by faith. About 3 months ago, I seen Brother Wayne, and he didn't look real good. He said, "I'm going to the doctor, Brother Frank." He went to the doctor, Raleigh, and they found he's got stage 4 cancer. He's been going for chemo. Not only that, but now his wife is sick. Why? And at the meeting, you remember Hurricane Irene that came through? It came through where Brother Wayne lived, and a big old tree fell across their house, destroyed their house. Now, I don't know about you, friend, but if that had been me, I'd probably said, "I'm done. Stick a fork in me, I'm done." But not Brother Wayne. Sister Gail, I walked in, he got up, he come over and hugged me. He said, "Brother Frank, I've been praying for you." He gets up 4:30 every morning, goes out in the woods. He said, "I've been praying." He said, "I heard that God came in y'all's camp meeting. I've been praying." He said, "Brother Frank, I heard God touched you when you sang down here. Oh, listen, I've been praying for you." Listen, my friend, thank God he's in control of even the diseases. Amen. Amen. While we were there, you may not agree with this, but there was another man having heart trouble. They said, "We would like for these preachers, would you come and anoint us? And would you pray with us?" My friend, listen, that's in the Bible. That's in the book. Amen. That's in the book. That's in the book. And we did. We prayed. And the Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. I know one thing. There's a God in heaven. He can control every disease known to man and those that's not known to man. Amen. Let me hasten before I lose everybody. He controls death. He said the power of life and death is in his hand. Amen. Amen. Listen, friend, you got up this morning, you took and you got dressed, and it's only because of the grace of a living God. Amen. You were able to put your clothes on, get in that automobile and drive to the house of God because of the grace of God. Don't ever take it for granted. Don't ever take it for granted. My friend, it could come one day, your last day, but thank God he's got the power over death. One day he walked out, and one day a man came to him, Jairus by name, and said, "Sir, my little girl, she's going to die. She's at the point of death." And Jesus got down to the house, and when he did, they come out and they said, "Hey, don't bother him any longer. Don't trouble the master any longer. His child is dead." And Jesus said, "She's not dead. She's just sleeping." And thank God he walked in and called her and took her by the hand, and she got up. Amen. One day there was a funeral procession in the city of Nain. There's a widow woman had lost her son, only son, and as they walked by, that old boy was stretched out on the stretcher, but Jesus walked by and touched the stretcher, and he got up off the stretcher. One day in John chapter 11, I was on the graveyard. Oh, Lazarus been dead for 4 days, but thank God Jesus walked out, and when Jesus called him by name, Lazarus got up out of the grave. He, my friend, he can resurrect the dead and the deader and the deadest. And hallelujah to God, one of these days that cemetery that's under is going to look like a top of a pepper box. Amen. Amen. For all that's in the grave shall hear his voice. Some shall come to the resurrection of life, and some to the resurrection of damnation. Well, my friend, I'm about done. Let me give you one last thing and I'll skip over. John, let me take you on one more trip. That's him. That's him in creation. That's him in the cradle. That's him on the cross. But John, let me take you one more place today. That's him wearing a crown. That's him wearing a crown. I'm not talking about the crown he wore on the day he was crucified. I'm not talking about that crown of thorns that they took and put on his head and pushed it down, and the thorns come out the side and blood came streaming down his face and his beard. I'm not talking about that crown that they beat down on his head with that reed. I'm not talking about the crown and they put on him and they mocked him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." I'm not talking about that crown. I'm talking about the crown, thank God, one of these days, his resurrection, the best day that's coming. One of these days, all they that in the graves are going to hear his voice. Hallelujah to God. He's coming back again. And the Lord of glory shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and the living shall be changed. We shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. He's coming back again. And he's coming back to reign. Old Testament prophecy said he would sit upon the throne of David and reign 1,000 years in Jerusalem. And friend, I got news for you. Excuse me. I got news for you. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian. I don't care what you are. Let me turn this off. This next election ain't gonna fix it. Amen. I'm sorry. Congress ain't gonna fix it. The Senate ain't going to fix it. The House of Representatives ain't going to fix it. The President's not going to fix it. You know what will fix it? Thank God when he sits upon the throne of David. He's going to reign in righteousness. Amen. And for 1,000 years, hallelujah, there'll be peace on this earth. Peace has never known. There'll never be peace until the Prince of Peace sits upon the throne of David and reigns in righteousness. Hey, listen, I'm not looking for the peace in the Middle East until he comes and reigns. Amen. Oh, but the Bible said for 1,000 years the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. The little child will play upon the hole of a poisonous snake. The lion and the lamb will lay down with it. Because the peace of God will flood the earth. Now, wait a minute. Only the saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb will be there. Amen?
Okay.
Only the blood. I didn't say church member. I didn't say Baptist. I didn't say Methodist. I didn't say Baptist. I didn't say, hey, only the blood-washed children of God are going to be there. And if you're not saved, you won't be there. You won't be there. Thank God there's coming a new heaven and a new earth. And the Bible said we're going to sit down with the saints of old. Wouldn't it be great? It's almost 12:20. Wouldn't it be great, Joanne, if we had lunch with Elijah today? Amen? Come on now, wouldn't it be great if we sat down at the table with Peter and say, hey, Peter, tell me a little about what went on. Wouldn't it be great if we could have lunch with Paul and all the other apostles? Hey, listen, my friend, it's coming one of these days. Thank God it's coming one of these days. And the saints of old and the New Testament saints will sit down around the throne of God. We'll fellowship with the people of God. We'll renew old acquaintances we hadn't had. We'll see mom and dad and sister and loved ones once again because that's him. That's him. He's coming back again.
He's coming back. He's coming back.
Do you know him? That's the question. Do you know him?